Hello, my friend, and welcome back to another episode of Undigestible. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the real reason that slowing down is so hard. Before we do, my name is Maya. I am your host here at Undigestible. It is a podcast full of practical inspiration and life strategies for humans who struggle through stress and overwhelm and perfectionism and overthinking and anxiety, worry, fear storms, all or nothing thinking, and the ridiculous need to control what's out of our control. Undigestible is a podcast dedicated to exploring those undigestible bits to habitual peace and the balanced yet driven life. Because we're humans who can struggle at times, and we want to take on life to the best of our abilities, to step more fully into ourselves, to express our creativity, to balance doing with being, and ultimately to lift our world up through compassion. As a reminder, I record all of these episodes in my home office, and it is also a very beautiful day in Phoenix, Arizona, so the windows are open. So any natural sounds that you hear is just a product of me being here with you in not a recording studio. So before we dive in, let's get to the point, the down and dirty point of why slowing down is so hard and what is the real reason. And before I do that, let me preface with the fact that this is theory, and this probably would be better said as why my reason for slowing down was so hard. That's ultimately what I'm here to do, is to share my life experience, because I am that person, the overthinker, the overwhelm, the stress, the burnout, the need to control everything. And I like to accomplish and do and experience life to the fullest. And you're here because you do too. So if I can share a few things with you that would ultimately help you in your journey, that would be amazing, and the whole point is to provide a little bit of ease and remind you of one thing that I know and that I love to hear myself, is that number one, it's possible, and number two, it's all okay. Sometimes you need to hear those at different times. So the down and dirty of why slowing down for me was so hard, it comes down to foundation. You can only slow down. Number one, you have to know that you need to slow down. It's if that's not known to you, this episode is completely irrelevant. So you have to know that you need to slow down. I knew I needed to slow down because namely stress and burnout. Too much stress leads to burnout. That was the entire last episode. So you can go listen to that. I think the pandemic in 2020 was like the big slowdown for the whole world. And it's really uncomfortable for a lot of people who weren't ready for it. So why slowing down? You got to know that you need to slow down, number one. And again, that was known to me through burnout. So I needed to slow down. And this was a pretty big slowdown for me, meaning that I really needed to step away from my business because I was in it, trying to fix all throughout COVID, all throughout the pandemic. And you know that you're in burnout when you come to the things that you love and you just don't feel any passion for it anymore. It's like everything starts to become, my friend Emily said on a live that we did earlier this week, Dr. Emily, who created the formula for us for burnout, she said, I can't be bothered to care. The moment that you think to yourself, I can't be bothered to care about this, especially when it comes to the people you love and the things you're passionate about, that's when you know you need to step back. And like I said, this was a pretty big step back for me. Now, slowing down for me was difficult because you can only do it from one of two foundations. If you do it from a foundation where faulty beliefs are intact, it's going to be like pushing that boulder up a hill. If you do it when new beliefs or new foundations are rooted and growing roots and become rooted, then it becomes something that is easy and effortless to do. It becomes something that you do, not because you know you need to do it or you have to do it or you try and fight to do it, but because it's who you are and it becomes a part of your world, where slowing down is just how you operate now. It's kind of like in, I've spent 12 years now as a registered dietitian, and it's kind of like when people know what to do and they're just not doing it. There's a moment in your life where maybe something really bad happens, and I don't wish this on anybody, but say someone gets really sick or they lose their ability to go to the gym. This hits everybody a little bit differently, but there's always the whole, I know, I should be doing this. I should eat the apple over the candy bar, yada, yada. Then the ordeal happens in your life, and it becomes not something that is burdensome. It doesn't become a should or a have to. It becomes something that becomes who you are. You have to do it in order to thrive, and you know that in your bones. So I was looking at this earlier this week, and I love this. It resonates with me a lot, and I really encourage you to go look it up yourself. So if you've ever heard of before, it's called The Hero's Journey, and it was modernized. We came to know The Hero's Journey primarily through Joseph Campbell. I believe there's even a book called The Hero's Journey that he wrote as well. And it's step 8 in The Hero's Journey. There's different steps. I won't call it step 8, but there is a step in The Hero's Journey where, let me take you through it because it'll make sense. And I really think you'll resonate with it. Is the first step is called stasis, where you're living in an ordinary world, you're feeling stuck, and maybe you're content for all the wrong reasons. I know what to do, I'm just not doing it, as in, i.e., what we're talking about today, slowing down. And then I just say number two. I don't know if it's number two, but number two is the call, what he calls the call to adventure, is I need to change something. I need to slow down. Maybe that's when burnout hits, or you know that you're needing to slow down. And the pain is either enough to push you over the edge to move on, or the pain is not great enough. You've heard me say it before, where change doesn't happen until you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that place, when you're not sick and tired enough, it really sucks. It's going to gnaw at you. It's just going to gnaw and gnaw and gnaw until you're tired enough. Because there is a place called the refusal of the call. And I have been on enough discovery calls with enough clients over the past 12 years to hear it all. I've had so many failures, it's a waste of time, it's a waste of money, how do I know it's going to work? All of those, what are they called, objections or excuses, that's probably what you were just thinking of, they're all refusals of the call. And the fourth step along the hero's journey is about meeting the mentor. And meeting the mentor is like, what is it, Obi-Wan Kenobi? Is the brain... when you meet the mentor, it's something that I would always say in my practice to people is like, look, the brain only has access to past experience. And so it can only give you all of the excuses and reasons that this is not going to work. So when you meet the mentor gives you a peek into, now it's you meet something. You and I could call this, do you hear the ice cream truck? It's getting really loud in our neighborhood. I don't know if I had the ice cream truck. Did you have the ice cream truck when you were a child? It was a very joyous moment. When you're recording a podcast, it just gets louder. So the fourth step is meeting the mentor, and it's just a peek into the path of what it could be like. The mentor is here, and maybe that's, I don't know, a call from the universe, or a stranger on the street, or a teacher that you have, somebody that says, hey, look, like, this doesn't have to be this way for you. You don't have to be experiencing this pain, knowing that I need to slow down, but I'm not slowing down, because if I slow down, then I'm not worthy, and I'm not valuable, or I give no value to the world, or I'm never going to accomplish my goals. And the mentor says to you, look, it doesn't have to be this way, right? Step five is crossing the threshold. Step five is when you get a peek into the strange and special world where there's wondrous sights, but danger lurks all around. And There's practical application of the hero's journey within business and marketing, of course, kind of taking you through that now, I suppose, it's the moment where you show someone like, wait a minute, look, there is practical examples. And this is what I did for myself, was I went to go find practical examples of successful people in business who didn't grind from the moment they got up at 3 a.m. to the moment they went to sleep at midnight. I'm exaggerating. Maybe, maybe not. I went to find examples, like show me the way, show me that this is possible, because I can't keep doing what I'm doing, but I also don't know any other way. And so you cross that threshold and you're like, oh, okay, I see that this is possible, but holy shit, I'm all probably also going to have to face some demons here. And that's step six, is tests. You have tests, you go through tests, and you meet allies, but you also meet enemies. And those are things like family and relationships and old habits and jobs that you hate and old ways of grinding, knowing too much. Like, these are not having boundaries. These are the tests that you have to go through. And the enemies are like your family who groups that you belong to in business who tell you that it has to be one way. And then allies, of course, you get the point where we're going. And then all of a sudden, into step seven, you start, they call it approach to the innermost cave. And you start to realize like, okay, I'm going through a lot of things here and there's something really big here. Like so I've learned about boundaries, or now in slowing down, okay, well, I practiced this mindfulness and I've started to sleep a little bit more, but maybe a new project comes up in your life and you go right back into your old mode. Knowledge is so much easier than integration. And you get little tests and the new project comes up and you're like, nope, I know what mode to go into. I know how to hustle. I know how to work. I know how to overthink things. I got this. And you go right back to your old path. But you never entered the cave. And that's what step eight is it's the ordeal in the abyss. The ordeal in the abyss. This is it. This is what I wanted to share with you when it comes to changing the foundation. When you meet that ordeal in the abyss is when you meet the shadow self. It's when you meet your limiting beliefs. It's when you meet your ego. It's when you meet the part of you that is the faulty foundation. Like you've dug and dug and done, you've done enough tests and you get to the point where this one thing is going to change it all. And for me, that has a lot to do with worthiness and value and having to prove myself and all of these things that are completely untrue. But when you're not aware of that and that's your operating mode, your foundation, it's going to be really hard, and slowing down is really hard, because when you come up to those tests, it's going to be really easy if you never went into the cave and did the ordeal in the abyss. If you never got there, you're going to go right back to the beginning of your journey. And this is the cycle of madness. This is, if you're at a place where you can look up the hero's journey, so if you're a visual person, look it up and look at the circle, and you start the hero's journey and you get down to this place of death and rebirth. You get to this place of being able to change your foundations and come out through the other side because of revelations and deep and meaningful experiences that shift the course of your life. And they're big and they're small, and you have many of them throughout your life. There's many hero's journeys that you take. Until you go there, slowing down is always going to be a to-do list item. When you go there, then you go through the transformation. You go through, they call step nine is the apophysis. Which literally, quite literally means apophysis. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Apophysis, it means the elevation of someone to divine status. That's literally what it means. The elevation of someone to divine status. But you realize in that moment that you are not unworthiness. You realize that you are not fill in the blank that you are not a failure or none of those things because you came so close to it, right? So when you're in the abyss, it's like the hero has made it to their greatest challenge. And I like to call this your ego, your shadow self, whatever you want to call this. It's your ego. To me, if we're sticking a little closer to science, it would be the habits of your brain. It would be what you've only ever known. And if you think from a very primordial sense, what you've only ever known is like living in this box. And the moment that you leave the box, well, you could die. And so when the ordeal is meeting the end of the box, it's opening the door, it's challenging what you've always known, because there's the potential that you could die because you're challenging what you've always known in your life. So you're bumping up against that. And it's that moment when you realize in the transformation, whoa, this is something I was experiencing. This isn't me, and it's not actually real. And you realize whatever was driving your inability to slow down, whatever was driving slowing down as a to-do list item, whatever was driving you, I think it was two episodes ago that I talk about pushing a boulder of lies up a hill, and I didn't know they were lies, and I didn't even know that I didn't even want to climb the hill. But you explore that about yourself and you learn that about yourself. And it's not easy because in some level, it feels like death. It feels like, I don't know who I'm going to be on the other side of this. Ultimately, 10 is about accepting the ultimate blessing, to know that you are worthy and you are loved and you are good enough just the way that you are. This brings tears to you, knowing that you have tears of gratitude, knowing that this is something that is you innately so, and that you have been operating from a faulty system, not of your own. 11 is the refusal of the return. The refusal, I got to go back to my life. I don't want to go back to my life. I just want to stay here in this juicy, delicious, transformative moment of realization. And then 12 is the road home. The road home's hard. The road home is hard because you are practicing how to integrate two lives. You're going back to your life and you're going to face challenges because you're going back to an old life as a different person. 13 is the master of two worlds. 13 is integration. It's practice. 12 requires a lot of small steps. It requires a lot of standing your ground. It requires, it's not, the intention is what's different. The foundation is what's different, is you go back to your life and you don't slow down because it's a to-do list item. You slow down because you know that your best possible life counts on it. You know that your most abundant, most fruitful, most loving, most exciting, most joy-filled life depends on you slowing down. You know that your survival, I would go that far, you would know that your survival depends on slowing down. So it's not a second thought, it's a first thought. It's a new habit, effortlessly, because you went into the cave and you went through the ordeal. And 14 is the return of special knowledge, the return of special, return with special knowledge. Special knowledge being that, you know, maybe you're, it's like in real world experience, then if you mastered slowing down, you would go and be a coach of slowing down. You would return and share the special knowledge. So, which brings us, this is going to make more sense now. This is going to make a lot more sense. There was an awesome article by Patrick Buggy of mindfulambition.net, and he defined slowing down as this. The goal of slowing down is not to go slower. It's to take action in the most effective way. I often like to say inspired action. It's to take action in the most effective way. Sometimes action is not in the most effective way when our foundational beliefs are working against us. he goes on to state some things that are really helpful that gives us some clues. If you're not on the other side, if you haven't gone through the proverbial, sometimes feels literal, death and rebirth of the abyss and into the transformation on the hero's journey, these give you, if you're still on the other side, these give you clues. This is what this does for you. If you're listening, you're only listening from one of two places, is I've met the faulty foundations, and I've broken through, and I'm on the other side, and it's something that I'm always integrating into my life, knowing that it is purposeful and meaningful to my best life, or it's a to-do list item. And if it's a to-do list item, this gives you clues into things. Slowing down means you do things well instead of doing more things. You do things well instead of doing more things. Sometimes the more syndrome is the problem. You do things you can sustain, enjoy, and want to keep doing. You do things that you can sustain, enjoy, and keep doing. I always go back to examples, of course, in nutrition and fitness. We do a lot of things that we can't sustain and we don't enjoy. So you can think of it that way, right? In business, it's the same thing. What can I sustain and enjoy? There's some different applications there because you might be in different phases of the business, of course. And some things may be a sprint or a marathon, and then you'll never do it again. But you get the point. You do things you can sustain, enjoy, and want to keep doing. Next, you do things that you want to do instead of letting others dictate your path. This is a big one. You do things you want to do instead of letting others dictate your path. This could come from the proverbial, like, my mother wanted, my father wanted me to be a doctor or a lawyer, or you don't know yourself well enough yet, and so you go to your external world, which is exactly what I did in my early years of business, is I didn't know how to do it, and so I went to my external world and just copied other people and what they did. So I let others dictate my path. Next and lastly, he says, doing what's optimal instead of the way things are, the way they've always been done, or because of old faulty foundations. I added that last one, but you get the point, is doing what's optimal instead of doing things that the way they've always been, or just because this is the way things are. Allow me to give you some other examples of why we don't slow down and why we keep working. We talked about the faulty foundations. That's primarily. Allow me to give you a few more clues into your own abyss. And primarily they fall under, as I mentioned, faulty foundations, toxic narratives, faulty sense of morality and stories like right and wrong. Faulty morality. Morality means good and bad. It's like a hard yes and a hard no. It's right and wrong, one way or the other. For example, more is better. That's a really common one, is more is better, or this is how it's done. Yeah, you know, I there's many areas of faulty morality that I've carried in my life. One of them that kept me going was that boredom is bad. Boredom is bad. How could people be bored? And this is, I'm not bashing anyone that if you've been bored before, there's no problem here. I'm not judging anyone. I highly, highly judged myself, and I am by far the hardest person. I am hardest on myself. It's just how I was raised. You know, I was raised with a dad and a grandpa that said, work hard. Working hard can solve all of your problems. Just work hard. You're going to be successful. You work hard, right? It was innocent. It was loving. They did the best they could with the tools they had. It was no one's fault. It's just what I learned. It's the faulty foundations. Something else is, this is the only way to achieve this, so maybe I just need to do more, especially for those in, I mean, gosh, I keep using examples of business and health, because that's where my examples come from, but this is the only way to achieve this, so I've got to be on the right path. If I'm not seeing the results I want, maybe I just need to do more. It's like the best example I can give you is in sales, for sales calls. When we needed sales, it was like, I'm just not doing enough sales calls. Do more. There was another example. I was in the now this is, you have to know yourself, right? There's not bad things in here, meaning there's just do it, like do it, just do it, just take action. For a lot of people, that mantra is good and needed. For other people, like myself, and probably like you, just do it and take action is detrimental. Because you and I are really good action takers. And ironically enough, more action is not what we need to do. But we hear it all of the time. And ultimately, it comes down to the how of how we're doing something. The difference is in the how. The difference is in the foundation of doing things. And these are some examples of other foundations. A lot of these, if I'm just needing to do more or working hard, they still point to some deeper things on our foundational level, such as mainly worth and value that it's pointing to. So I have come to one conclusion. Slowing down is the only sustainable solution. Yeah, I gave you many examples in my work life. And ironically, in my life, when I met my life partner, he gave me the space to slow down. And there was no judgment. I still ask him often, is okay, so I'm not working right now. Like, is this, when it was just me and I was single, it was really easy to hide things. And like, it's like, okay, you're not working. There's no one that has to say that that's okay. It's just you. But then when we moved in together, I was checking myself with him. It's like, okay, wait a minute. So I'm doing a lot less. And am I lazy? Am I being lazy to you? And never once was there any judgment. With just further, I was completely talking from the place of ego and the shadow self, which is untrue. It feels true until you change it. And it's nice to have that other person to bounce it off of, even if it's a really amazing friend. Yoga helped me to slow down a lot. I'm a big yoga fan. It brought me a lot of balance, like physical balance, like when you have to stand on one leg and then breathing through some difficult situations. All of these things led to facing my fears and letting go and new possibilities and deeper meaning and deeper connections to myself, more rewarding work, higher creativity, higher clarity, right intention and foundation, and ultimately more life, which is freaking amazing. And I hope that this was helpful for you today in some way, knowing that why is slowing down so hard? Because we got the wrong foundation. And all I can share with you is mine. It wraps itself around self-worth and value, which after 12 years, there's a lot of us out there. And I encourage you to think about your own faulty foundations, the faulty toxic narratives, the faulty sense of morality around right and wrong, like boredom is bad. What do you carry with you? What are those things that maybe you're not saying out loud that you're carrying with you that are producing the speed up, the more, the whatever is preventing you from slowing down and keeping slowing down on your to-do list instead of a must? What are those things? Like, I'm not asking you to go into the abyss. I'm just saying, look at the abyss. And also look up the hero's journey. I think that it will help a lot. As always, I hope this was very helpful for you. It would be wonderful if you could leave a comment, a review on this podcast. If you want to check out more, all of my podcasts, all of my current projects, everything I'm working on is always at mayanara.com. You can always check the show notes for those or just head over to mayanara.com. And since we don't really know each other, this is kind of a one-way street, I would love for you to leave a review and actually write something in there and let me know if there's an episode or a topic that you would like to unpack, unravel, and go deeper on something that is hard to digest in your life. I appreciate you. I love you so much. Thank you for being here. Have a wonderful rest of your day.